Good morning. I want to welcome you to Rock Valley Christian Church. The reality of that hit me last week when Stephanie was giving the announcements and she said, so just as a reminder, we won't be meeting here next week. Next week we'll all be meeting at Rock Valley Christian Church. That's a weird thing to think. So we've had Rock Valley Christian Church, but having the place to meet. So just wonderful to be with you. Let's begin today by turning to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. If you don't have a Bible and you're in the middle, all you have to do is reach in front of you now. We have Bibles in place in the middle. So, but if you don't have a Bible, if you're sitting on the outside of the hall, just raise your hand. We'd like to go through the Bible as we teach God's Word. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 is a story about Hezekiah. And it's a great story in the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the righteous kings of Judah. And he came on the scene at a time after the Israelite nation had already gone into captivity. Judah, that he was king over, was still in existence. But he came here, and notice here in verse 1, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David had done. And in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. So he comes on the scene at a time when the temple that had been built was in disrepair. Jerusalem was not a place of worship of God at that time. Other gods had filled the nations, and the purity with which God had established Jerusalem, the purity of the house of God that was built, that was dreamed of by David, that was built by his son Solomon, here he finds it, not being used, and in disrepair. And he opens it up, and he repairs the doors of it. Verse 4, then he brought in the priests and the Levites, and gathered them in the east square, and said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. So what had been put in the house of God was a bunch of junk, basically. There were things that were filling it that were not conducive to worship. Verse 6, why? For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken Him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on Him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He has given them up to trouble, to desolation, to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that you should minister to Him and burn incense. So we see this instruction just dropping down. So we continue verse 15. They gathered their brethren, they sanctified themselves, and they went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And then the priests went in to the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And they brought out all the debris that they found there, that they found in the temple of the Lord, to the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it out and carried it out to the brook Kidron. So that must have been like their dumping ground, right? The place where you take your trash, right? We just have dumpsters. But you know what's amazing? As I look at the story and look at these words of God, this is what I saw happen here in this place. You know, this is our first meeting with This Is Our Church. We have been given this. We have ownership of this church. God has given it to us. But the first meeting we had, if you remember, in this church was a day of fasting and of consecration to ask God, is this the place you want us to come? And we fasted and we prayed together in this church and said, what do you want us to do, God? What do you want of us? Because if God is for us, who can be against us? But if God doesn't want us to have something, if this is not from God, then we were saying, this is not what we want. And that attitude, that spirit, has been a part of this church since its beginning. Since the day I can remember that Scott, Carolyn, Stephanie, and I were on our knees on my family room floor just saying, God, whatever you want here. Here's our desire. We want to serve you. And we want to serve people to encourage them in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I know if we can encourage people to have a relationship with Christ, if we can encourage them to look at what He said, to be disciples of His, to be baptized, to observe the things that He commanded as He told us to do in Matthew chapter 28, then I know that your life and my life and the lives of those that we can help will be blessed. Because where Christ takes possession of a place, when Christ takes possession of a life, there is blessing. And so here we came into this place, and what was amazing was as we walked through the rooms, there was debris and rubbish in every room. Amen? It was just unbelievable. I've never seen a church look like this before. The piles in some of the rooms were tall and high. I mean, when I looked at that fellowship hall, and I saw the ladies showing up, and they were like, get out of our way, David, we're taking over. I was like, they were going to cleanse this place. They were going to get it out. And I mean, how many dumpsters have we filled? How many trucks with just rubbish and debris and garbage that was filling this place and not allowing it to be what it can be right now? A place of meeting, a place of worship, a place where God is praised, a place where His Word is spoken. It had to be cleaned up. It had to be cleaned up. And when we started the process, when we saw this, at first I was like, you know, they need to clean this up. I mean, who leaves? I mean, your worst renter doesn't leave this much garbage. But I'm really glad that's the way we found it. I really am glad that's the way we found it. Because we would have missed how important it is, the process that God takes each one of us through when He prepares a home. As Garrett was singing, as we were singing, where's this home? You know, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Where are you going to prepare a house for me? But to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at His word. God's desire always has been for you to be His dwelling place. God's desire has been for you to be the church, to be those who would be His, to sanctify for His purposes and for His plans. So He commanded them to clean the house. Notice here again, He said when He gathered them, in chapter 29 and verse 5, He said, hear me, Levites, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. The lessons of life that we learn in the cleaning, in the cleansing, in the redoing of things to make a place of worship. I ask you as you come here today, priests of God, called by God, have you sanctified yourself for the purpose of worship? What's so beautiful here is we drop down now to, again, to chapter 16. It says that, so the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. They brought out all the debris they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the Lord. The Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. And they went in to King Hezekiah and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering, with all its articles, and the tables of showbread with all the articles. Moreover, all the articles which King Ahaz and his reign had cast aside in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified. And there they are before the altar of the Lord. Drop down to verse 25. It says, and he stationed the Levites in the house. So now that they've cleaned it up, he stationed them in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet. For thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with their trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer burnt offerings to the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped, the singers sang, the trumpeters sounded. All of this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads, and they worshipped. And King Hezekiah answered and said, now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. So all this work, all the work, I got to tell you, I've said before that Rock Valley Christian Church is a group of people with a heart of belief for God unlike that I've ever known. And to see the offerings that you, church, brought forth to cleanse this place, to set it apart as a place of worship, has been overwhelming. I mean, I look at this audience of people, and I've been here early in the morning, in the middle of the day. I've been here at nighttime watching you clean and paint and scrape things off walls and cleaning grout and cleaning out the walls and getting rid of the grease and all the stuff. And I've seen a transformation take place of this physical building. And you're not doing it because you want to make this building a place. That you want to beautify the building. It's because you know what beautifying the building allows for. See, the cleansing and the power of God that comes into our lives is not just to clean up the mess. It's for the preparation of what will take place. If we were to clean and do all the work we've been doing and then we just close it back up and shut the doors and no one comes in and no one is blessed by the work, what good is it? What we do as a church is with a purpose in mind for what God is doing and what God is working. When Hezekiah started this work, it said that the first thing he did was open up the doors and he repaired them. I want you to turn with me. Hold your place here in 2 Chronicles in case we come back. But let's turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. All this work, all this effort that these saints have been putting forth, the outpourings of love, the service, the dedication that you've shown. John chapter 10, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said to them again in verse 7, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. The commandment I have received from my Father. Our life and our journey begins with repairing the relationship at the door. Jesus Christ died for you personally. Jesus Christ died that you would have life. That you would not be a dead thing, an unused thing, a thing filled with debris and rubbish, but that you would have an abundant life that is filled with His Spirit, the Spirit of Almighty God, that you would be transformed like the temple was in Hezekiah's time. Everything that God was leading Hezekiah to do began with opening the door and repairing him. And in our lives, things don't work right if the doors don't work. I saw Hartmut fixing doors around this place because there were a lot of doors that didn't work. They would get stuck. They wouldn't open. How did they shut? I mean, we spent 20 minutes trying to close that door one day. How do you get this thing to work? And, you know, how many Rock Valley attendees does it take to close a door? You know, I mean, that was the joke going on around here because we couldn't shut things. We couldn't open things properly. It took repairing it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is the foundation of everything we believe as a church, as a people. We come to God by the grace of Jesus Christ. And it is His grace that overflows to us, that causes us to abound with grace and love to each other and thanksgiving to God. And the grace abounds more because as the service comes in, you look and you say, "People, what have you done? So overwhelming have your gifts been. So overwhelming have your free will offerings been that we watch and we praise God and thank God for you." When you have a mess, it gives an opportunity. And you guys really stepped up. And it's just amazing. This place has been transformed inside and out. And it becomes a place of worship. And friends, when we open our lives to Christ, when we open the doors, we allow Him to come into the deepest places of our lives to cleanse us by His own blood. To cleanse us, to change us, that we become the house of God. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, notice here in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, 19. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." When you come to Christ, when you accept the fellowship that is in His name, when you come to Him, you enter into this fellowship that we share here as a small part of God's church all over the world. We're just a little flock here. We're just a little flock. And what we're asking God to do is bless us that we can continue to grow as a fellowship, as a household of believers. And he says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." This building is a tremendous blessing. When the Rock Valley started, Marty had mentioned we were meeting in a little conference room. It was about 20 by 20 room. We were hoping for maybe 13 or 14 people to be with us. We just wanted to fellowship with people. We just wanted to serve people. We wanted to deliver the Word of God to people. But that room was going away. We were going to lose it. So I made a list of all the places, businesses, churches that I could see in the area around where we lived. I ended up going to 25 places looking for a home for this church, a place to meet. And I was told no by every one of them. And after spending a couple days of my life being told no and trying to make friends and influence people, obviously not very well, I came home and I told Stephanie, "I guess this is our answer. The door seems shut and closed. And if God wants us to press on because it just didn't seem like we were having any movement. He's going to have to do a miracle. And I went up to my bedroom and I dropped to my knees and I said, God, if you don't want us to do anything, shut this down now. We will go where you lead us to attend. That's it. We're good with wherever you want us to be. But I thought you wanted us to do this. We've been praying for months. We've been asking you what to do. Do you want us to do this or not? Because really, seriously, God, we do not want to be doing this if you do not want us to do it. It is for you, to your glory, that we want to participate. And if we're not the vessels to be doing this, it's good with us. All praise, honor, and glory belong to you, Almighty God. So if you want to do this, you're going to have to do a miracle. And you're going to have to do a miracle right now. I need you to show us. You're going to show if you're going to give us a place or we're done. I got a phone call later that afternoon from a man named Pastor Jack Warford. And he said, I hear you're looking for a place to meet. I said, yeah. And he said, well, I want to know about you. He said, who's your Jesus? So I quoted John 1 and I quoted Philippians 2. And he said, good. And he said, well, I kind of need to know about you. And I said, well, I've been doing a radio broadcast for 3 years. So you can listen. I've been doing itinerant teaching. And he listened to some radio broadcasts. He said, I'll get back to you. Called me back the next day and says, well, I like what you preach and I'd like to offer this to you. And I said, well, that's great. I said, could we look at it? Could I look at it? I'm not familiar with their church. So Stephanie and I went over and opened up the church and there were chairs. Something we didn't have on the floor of my family room. There were chairs. There was a sound system. It was all set up. There was a place for the PowerPoint. You can use this. Here's a place for Bible school. Here's a place for refrigeration. You can have your own church refrigerator here. And we'll have cabinets that will be just for your church. And we have these trailers. You can have Bible studies. You can have meetings. If you need a bulletin, we'll print it for you. We'll print it for free because we have plenty of paper and we pay a fee and it's all covered in what we do. And we'll open up this church. And when you have services, it's your church. And if you put something on the calendar, it's yours. And nobody will take you off that calendar. The calendar is open to you. And when you book an event, that event stays. And even our own church will take second fiddle to that. To that meeting. And if we ever have, you know, a need or a conflict at the time that you want to meet, we'll talk to you about it. And if you can accommodate us, great. And if not, we understand. And he said, well, come in to my office and I'll get you a key. First time I ever met him. And I said, well, I have a question. What's it going to cost? And he said, this is God's gift to you. And as you can imagine, it was just an overwhelming thing. It wasn't just what he said. It was the way he said it. Because it was the very phrase. I said, you're going to have to give it to us. And he said, it's God's gift to you. And he prayed for us and he blessed us. And that's where we started. I never had a dream, though, that when God was thinking of a home, that he would give us our own place. It wasn't even in my mind. All we wanted to do is all we want to do now. Serve people who come and want to hear the word of the Lord. Serve people who want to worship God. Encourage people that this place would be a place of healing and rejuvenation where people's lives can be cleansed to God. To know God. God's calling out for your life. God formed you in His image. You have the breath of life in you. And God is looking for you to come to Him, to come through the door that is Christ, to come to the most holy Father of all and give your life to Him. This place was a dream. And when I finally realized we were thinking of going this way months ago, I actually looked and said, we can't afford this. Where's the money going to come from? God just takes care of things. God takes care of things. You, church, are not in any debt to this building. Your debt is to love one another. All the service that goes on in here should be a dedication of what you willingly desire to give to God. The cleansings of the room are so that there can be ministry. Friends, we're not cleaning this property up just to make it look nice for the neighborhood. We are cleaning it up for purposes and plans of ministry. You've been called to such things. Turn with me over to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Are you pressing into that always? Taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see what He delivers in His Word and by His Spirit. Verse 4, coming to Him, the Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, and this is to you who believe, who have come to Christ, this is spoken to you. It says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. You are. You are. A holy priesthood. Notice that? You are the house and the priesthood. When Hezekiah called, he said, sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house. Because the house is the people. What makes this a house of the Lord is the people who come here are filled with the Lord. And if you're not filled with the Lord, then my call is to you, come and be filled. Come and know the Lord. Come and know what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Come and know what it is to follow God in the way that you live your life. For you are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Did you get that? You're the house, you're the priesthood, and you're offering up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. So it says in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. When we started this church, the scripture that was resonating with me came from the book of Revelation. And it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Very simple. A very simple distinction. He said, here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. When people look in this room, do they see the love of Christ? That is what we have to offer. The love of Christ, our dedication to Him, our dedication to one another. To offer up these spiritual sacrifices. Verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's you. We won't go back and read it, but back in the story of Hezekiah, he repairs the doors, his relationship with Christ. He calls to a priesthood to sanctify themselves, to set themselves apart to God, and make the place, the temple, a place of sanctification. They go in and they cleanse it. They get out all the rubbish, all the debris out of that temple. Then the priesthood that sanctified themselves, they go in and with blood they consecrate all the things for worship. That in that place it would be consecrated for worship. And they begin then to sing and to praise and to worship God, and they're offering up the sacrifices. And as this builds from the opening of the doors, to the bringing forth of worship and praise. Then Hezekiah says, now go out and proclaim throughout all the land that we are going to celebrate the feast of the Passover, the feast of unleavened bread. There's going to be rejoicing and jubilation. It says, wherever they went and told people to turn back to God, it said they were mocked and they were laughed at. But some did come. Some did come to worship God. Some did heed the proclamation. And the proclamation brought in a flow of people to a place that they had sanctified and cleansed, and there they worshiped and praised God. And it says that that feast of Passover and that feast of unleavened bread they celebrated, it said there hadn't been one like it since David's son Solomon ruled. Friends, all that we have been doing in the work of preparation of a physical place for worship, I hope it's been working on your heart to think of the cleansing and sanctification process that should be continuing in our lives to the Lord, to dedicate ourselves to His good service, to dedicate ourselves to Him and what He wants to be doing in your life, that you could be a blessing to others. The point is that we do this thing, we've done this work so that we can invite, that we can proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord forever and ever. That we can bring people to know what it is to repair the relationship, the door in their own life. That they would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because so much the heart is aching. The heart is aching in human beings to know God. The heart is yearning for a touch of God inside, and we're choosing to follow whatever it is this world can offer that cannot satisfy. The world offers counterfeit after counterfeit to say, this will make you happy. This will satisfy you out. This will be what you should worship and adore and commit your life to. Be a fan of this. Be dedicated to this. Worship these guys. Follow this. And it's a life created for self. But what God is calling for cleansing in our lives is to say, I was created for the glory of God. I was created to shine forth. I have been created to be a spiritual house. I have come to the stone, to the cornerstone, to the one door, Jesus Christ, and He has come into my life and changed me forever. And as He gave His life for others, so I give my life for others. My life is spent. My money is not my own. My house is not my own. My life is not my own. It's the offering willingly given to a God worthy of it all. The heart of worship comes from knowing Christ and asking Jesus Christ to fill every part of life. This is a month of dedication, friends. It is not just a month of dedicating this church to God, for certainly we want this to be a place of sanctification and holiness, but it is dedicating ourselves to say, I'm for You. I am dedicated to You, God. Praise be to You forever and ever. Praise be to You forever and ever. With the words that I speak, the thoughts that I think, and the works of my hands, that in everything it's to You. We have to clean out the debris of our lives, that our lives would be set apart, sanctified, and dedicated to the service of Almighty God. He wants to inhabit our lives and to bless us in ways we have yet to see. God keeps showing up and being God in our lives. This property is a testament to that. He does things that we physically couldn't do. He's taken it on Himself. He's paved the ways. And He wants to be paving those ways in your life. He wants to be involved in who you are, that the things of this world would fall off as the clutter they are, and the things of God would be elevated in everything that we do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank You so much for the blessing it is to come here today. We thank You for this place to meet, this place we now call our home. And God, we just ask that You would put Your blessing, Your protection on this place that we have. Thank You for it. And God, as much as we want you to be here, we ask that this place would be a place of dedication, where we can dedicate our lives to you, where we can praise you and worship you, where we can come throughout the week and just give you offerings of praise. God, I thank you that we have a place to do this, that your church now has a place that we can all gather together here and do this. And certainly, God, you have planted churches all over this earth. Brothers and sisters, wherever they are. And as Garrett said, we do not forget those who are looking for homes, who are searching for homes. But the reality is, God, we know that the great home that we have is the home that we have with you when you come and live your life in us. When you make your home, we have every satisfaction in life, every need met. For you are our comfort, our salvation, and our strength. Father, as we give you this place that you've given us, we give it right back and say, make it a holy place. Meet the people that come here with your Spirit. Meet the people who come who don't know you with a touch from you. Meet them here in this place, that this place would be a place of healing, a place of redemption, a place of freedom from captivity, of releasing from life the things that bondage and put into bondage all your children who you are calling. Let this place be a place of freedom and healing. And I pray, Father, that you would put such a spirit in your people that we could go forth with cleansing and with proclamation, with worship and with praising, to say, come and know the Lord. Come and know who He is. I pray that you would give a blessing of dedication on each person who is seeking your face in this room, to seek what their ministry is, to seek what they should be doing in giving their lives more wholly and completely to you, to dedicate themselves to your service and to the service of others. Father, I thank you for the promise and the hope of the coming of your Son, and we pray that He comes speedily and that the day of His return is soon. And I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage that until that day comes, until that day we look up and see our redemption, I pray that you would give us the strength to continue in your service, offering you sacrifices of our life, offering you the sacrifices of our hearts, that we would be given wholly to you. So we thank you and praise you for the way that you determined to make us holy and set apart. And just ask your blessing now as we enter again into singing to you in worship. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.